Open your Bibles, if you would, please, the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 33. That's in the Old Testament. That's a big part of your Bible to the left. It's easy to find. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Ezekiel. I have to do this because it's cheaper than divorce. My wife has a ministry, and nothing comes to me from it. I'm just the front man. But she has some CDs and some really great preaching tapes back there, or CDs back there. Anyway, and so a little bit of revenue she gets, she uses it to help people. So it's her own little ministry. And some of you have heard our grandsons that have the Well of Grace trio. And we were here. Have they been here since I was here last year? Yeah, okay. Well, I know that some of you, and I know during commercials, that's the time to take a nap. I understand that. So I'm here to make the same offer that I did a year ago, so that for those of you that were sleeping last year, every spiritual family, God wants them to have the CDs of our trio, the Well of Grace. And especially, which one is it that's that special one?
That's the last one.
Is this the one that's got the dedication in it? You ought to get this one just for the dedication that's inside here. I said, what is it? Buy the CD and I'll show you. Anyway, if she's got, you only have three? You only have two?
No, there's four.
Okay. All right. Well, they're back there, the Well of Grace. You've heard them, and they're better than they were before. And the little piano, little, none of them's little. Excuse me, I don't mean that. Those two oldest boys wear size 52 suits, so I'm telling you, they're not little. Their favorite place? Golden Corral. What else? You know, anyway. But that little 14-year-old is just getting better and better. So you need to get the CDs. She's got the same special that she offered you here this last year. They're $10 a piece, two for 20. And then I got an old friend. I have three friends. I got an old friend up just west of Wilmington, Delaware. He's 95 years old. He rides a bicycle 2 miles a day. He's retired from the pastorate, but he's still very active. He's already told his sons, they're about 70, that he's going to outlive them. So anyway, and he made this CD when he was 92 years old. And his voice is just as clear and as pure as a 30-year-old. And it's just hymns, great old hymns, like what you heard that young fella, well, emphasis on young, saying a while ago, but it's just a treasure. This guy was a soul winner. So I'm sure he still is, but anyway, so all that's back there, so I got that out of the way. And then I just want to give you an update because you're one of our supporting churches. Hey, by the way, how'd you like that last newsletter I sent out? Isn't that great? That three paragraphs. See, the one I sent out 6 months ago, a couple of my buddies got upset, said, Hamlin is only two paragraphs. What else do you need to put in there? Thanks for supporting me. I preach every week. God bless. I mean, what else? But anyway, so I thought, I'm going to outdo myself. So three paragraphs. Great. And I've said this before. The thing that keeps most evangelists on the road is some type of secondary income. I don't know if you notice or not, but it costs more to live today than it did 10 years ago. Now, thank God we are getting it. You realize this gas deal is saving us guys thousands of dollars. I spent $9,167 in gas year before last. I'm afraid to figure up last year. Their wives work, or they got some kind of, you know, they got some kind of a sidelight. And I just chose to raise some monthly support. And the monthly support out of this church helps my wife and I stay on the road. And we greatly appreciate that, believe me, the prayers and the support. And especially when we come back here, it's almost just like going back home, you know. And there's some fellas that have me twice a year. I've dropped some hints. But anyway, when you're dealing with rednecks, you know, sometimes you just have to be blunt. But anyway, we greatly appreciate it. And several things have happened to us recently. As most of you know, I was battling cancer. And I chose to use the natural healing methods, mainly herbs, and takes a little longer. But we were at our clinic out of Maryland 3 weeks ago, this past Thursday, and they've declared me cancer free. And I really believe the reason that it works so quick for me, because it was just a little over a year and a half, I believe because we caught it so early, because I know there are others that have a longer battle than that. And then I think that thousands of people praying for you every day across this country, I believe, had a tremendous impact on it. Amen. Then two other things. When I was here last year, I was right in the throes of some really painful and difficult physical situations. I had a hard time just standing up. I had pain from my lower back all the way down, clear down into my ankle, and I couldn't stand without holding on to something, and just a lot of pain, especially in the groin area. And I don't know what in the world was going on. I thought it may have had something to do with the cancer, so I ended up going to a chiropractor in, of all places, in Charlottesville, Virginia, and he fixed all that, and so I'm pain free through all that. And then my energy level had bottomed out. And when I was here, even just as recently as 3 months ago, I would have to sit for 15 minutes after I preached. Just hadn't had enough strength to get up. And so when we were at our clinic, not 3 weeks ago, but back in the fall, the test showed. In fact, the herbologist said this to me, said, you got a more serious problem than cancer. Your thyroid has shut down. And your thyroid affects 40 different areas of your body. So they said, you're going to have some real problems if we don't get this thing fired up again. So they gave me the stuff, and evidently the thyroid's working, because the energy level is much, much higher. And I'm honestly feeling better than I've felt in over 2 years. And so I've been praying. You know, I'm getting, I don't know if I'm old. My wife says, I look like I'm 80, walk like I'm 90, and talk like I'm 95. But I don't know if I'm getting old, but I do know this. I'm getting older. And I know that I probably don't have near as many years left in the ministry as I did when I started out 46 years ago. So I'm pretty much on the tail end of the thing. And I've asked God to make my latter years the most fruitful. Because I know a lot of guys, and a lot of them are friends. Guy's retiring at 65. How does a preacher retire? What does a retired preacher do? You know? And then some for various reasons, you know, they just let up. But I want the latter years to be more fruitful. And we're seeing God do some things. So I think all of that's just part of it, that God's answering the prayer. So keep praying for us as we travel. We'll be in about 68 churches this year by the time we get to the time we pull off for the holidays in December, which is just around the corner. So, now, if you're 20, it's not, but when you're 72. So, well, I'm in Ezekiel chapter number 33, and I want to read one verse here. I want to read several passages throughout the Bible, lay some groundwork for a lesson that I believe in two things. Number one, I believe it's the leadership of the Lord. But number two, I believe it's kind of helped set the table for this month's emphasis. Ezekiel 33 verse, and I read this verse 2 years ago, but it was a different sermon. I have three sermons. I got 452 titles, but I got three sermons. And my wife's just about got my fourth sermon ready. And if it's a good one, like the other three she wrote, I'll have 601 titles. So moving in the right direction. Ezekiel 33 verse 8, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Now go to the book of Matthew, chapter number 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, Lamentations 3:51 says, mine eye affecteth my heart. Yeah. Now, go, if you would, to the book of Jude, which is right before the book of Revelation. If you can't find it, just listen to me. In Jude, verse number 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. I heard a message probably 30 years ago, 35 years ago. The title of the message was Compassion Makes a Difference. I've always wanted to preach that. I don't even remember the outline. But I love that statement, that truth. Compassion makes a difference. And I always wanted to build a sermon on compassion makes a difference. This is not the message, but compassion does have a great deal. Well, I guess you could. I think the one of the titles for this message is simply compassion. So anyway, but if some have compassion, then it does make a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Now go to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 20, those last five verses, very familiar, describes what we call the great white throne judgment. Verses 14 and 15, death and hell were cast. That word cast is a frightful word. It means to be violently thrust. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, that closes out measured time as you and I understand it. The Bible talks about, I think in chapter 17, where time shall be no more. That doesn't mean the existence is over. That just means measured time as you and I understand it ceases. Because Revelation 21:1 starts with the new heavens and the new earth. That's eternity future, where there are no watches, no clocks, no alarm clocks, no calendars. Amen. Look at verse 4 of Revelation 21. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I'll ask you some questions. The great white throne judgment cannot take place for at least 1,007 years. Because the church has to be raptured, which, by the way, could happen any time. I hope it happens before I have to head for the house tonight. Amen. Then there's a 7-year tribulation period. Then, Battle of Armageddon, God Almighty comes, the person of the Lord, and takes over. And we have the 1,000-year reign of Christ called the millennium. Okay? Now, so by the time you get to Revelation 21, most of us will have been glorified for at least 1,007 years. We've got the glorified body. Amen? All right. My question is, what are we doing crying in Revelation 21, verse 4? I mean, we got our glorified bodies. Why? Why is God going to have to wipe away all tears from our eyes? Well, I believe what the old timers preached. Dr. Rice was real strong on this and others. I believe that because of the fact that we are going to witness the great white throne judgment. And I believe we will. And we're going to see every lost sinner out of every generation of the human race cast into the lake of fire. And we're going to know a lot of them. And there's a lot of them we have the opportunity to witness to and didn't take it. See, that's the only way I can fit Ezekiel 33:8 in there. Because he said, if you fail to warn the wicked from his wicked way and he dies in his iniquity, his blood will I require at thine hand. Amen. Average American, by the time he's 65 years of age, will have influenced 3,000 people in his lifetime. How many people is in here this morning? So I'm not preaching to 200 people. I'm preaching to a bunch. What's 200 times 3,000? Power of influence. So we're going to see people, neighbors, family, classmates, co-workers, acquaintances. We had an opportunity to witness to. Didn't do it. We're going to watch them. See, the finality of the great white throne judgment just sends terror down my soul. Because that's it. I mean, as soon as they die, it's it. You know, death seals our destiny. But to witness that. So, God is going to have to wipe away tears from our eyes. Now, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. When Jesus saw the multitudes, it affected him. And he was moved with compassion. So if we're following Jesus, we can learn some valuable lessons. We can learn some valuable lessons about this business of compassion, because he had compassion. Amen? He wants us to have compassion. Said it in the Bible, compassion. Some have compassion making a difference. Why is it, Brother Preacher? Now this church here, New Folk, and I've said this to you before. I keep coming. I come every year and say about the same thing. And but if you've not been in other fundamental churches, you don't have any idea what you got here. Because this whole outfit around here is above average from a spiritual standpoint and a character standpoint, by the way. But I'm going to tell you something, and I don't know what the percentage would be in this church, but in the average Bible preaching church, fundamental church, about 10 to 15% of the people do 90% of the soul winning. Now, why is that? Why doesn't everybody try to win souls? Is it not the Great Commission? Isn't given to us? Is it not? Then why? Why don't we? Why doesn't everybody? If you have a soul winning night, why didn't everybody in the church show up? Why is it always just at 10, 15? In a place like this, probably 25%. But it's still a small percentage. If everybody's supposed to do it, amen, why does the majority not do it? You don't have to agree with what I'm about to say. It won't affect me at all. Just keep the check coming every month and everything will be all right. But I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe that, speaking in generalities, as a whole, we've lost our burden. If I can go week after week after week and not make any attempt to try to witness to somebody, there's something wrong with me. Amen? Number one, I'm not following Jesus, because he said, you follow me, I'll make you become fishers of men. What's the key? Compassion. Compassion. Well, you say, well, I just don't have a burden like I used to. Now, listen carefully. You don't have to have a burden. Open your Bibles to Psalm 126, 6. In Psalm 126, 6, how does it start out? What does that word? Huh? He that goeth forth. Is that word go in the Great Commission? Yes, sir. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature? Yes, sir. Huh? Yes, sir. He didn't say, get a burden and go. He didn't say, have compassion and go. He said, obey me. Yes, you go. Whether you want to or not. Whether you feel like it or not. Whether you think it'll make any difference or not. Right. Just go. He that goeth forth and weepeth. You know what that is? That's compassion. He didn't say weep and then go. He said, go. I'm going to show you how it connects here in a second. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. What's that? That's the gospel.
Amen.
That's how people get saved. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To who? Everyone that believeth. Only have to have one message. The gospel. So here it is. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, doing what?
Bringing
his sheaves with him. Do you know that if you look at that and you analyze that, that's a guarantee from God. You do what I'm telling you to do, and you do it the right way, without a doubt, you are going to come rejoicing, bringing your sheaves. That's reproduction. That's harvest.
Amen.
That's soul winning. Amen?
Amen?
Wouldn't it be something if you had 150 people out throughout the week and they just stayed at it and they practiced Psalm 126:6? You wouldn't be talking about baptizing 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. Huh?
Right.
Yeah. See? So what's the key? The key is obedience. The key is duty. The key is doing what God tells us to do, whether we want to or not. It's doing what God tells us to do, whether we like it or not. It's doing what God's told us to do, whether we're afraid or not. It's doing what God told us to do, even whether we believe it'll work or not. Remember what Peter said? Nevertheless, I mean, we fished all night. Now you're telling me to throw the net back in. We fished all night, caught nothing, but because you told me to, nevertheless, at thy word. Now listen, here's what happens. When you go, I don't care where you go, just go. Just get around people. I don't care if it's at Walmart, Kmart. I don't care if you get in an apartment. You know, where I go, most of our ministry, we're out there on the East Coast. You can't get in those apartments and all of that where the millions live. So you got to pray and ask God to give you a way to get the gospel to them. But just go. If you don't like any of the plans that are available, come up with your own. I preached for a guy in a place called Swickley, Pennsylvania. It's a suburb of Pittsburgh. Any Pittsburgh Steeler fans, that's where your beloved coach, Chuck Knoll, where he lived. He died, you know, a few months ago, you know. Anyway, it's a high dollar area. And so they have a hard time. They have a hard time reaching people. You know what they do? They come up with what they call prayer visitation. And they go out, they go door to door, and here's what they say. We're from whatever the name of the church is. I don't think it's Pentecostal church. I think I put... What? Don't believe that. I'm just kidding. It's not just... Bud's going to sleep. I'm trying to keep him awake. So here's what they do. They say, we're from Swickley Baptist Church. I don't think that's the name of it, but Lighthouse Baptist Church. Okay. See why she's with me. Especially when I have those periods where I go brain dead. We never miss a beat as long as she's with me. And they say, we believe in prayer. We're Bible believers. And we know it's important for us to pray for the people in our community. Do you have anything or anybody that you would want us to pray for and to pray about? And we'll record it. And our prayer warriors will pray. They don't say a thing about the gospel. So you know what they do? They go back about 2 weeks later. So just wanted to check up because we've been praying for Annabelle. We've been praying for, you know, just want to know how things are going. You know, you don't make too many visits to a home like that where people start really getting interested in you because you're interested in them. Well, that's a little out of unusual way to do it, but it's working for them. So all I'm saying is just go. Now, when you go, here's an issue, and it can't be any other way. The majority of us have been saved so long, we've forgotten what it was like to be lost. We've forgotten what the home situation was, the cursing and a lot of that other stuff. We're so far removed from that. But when you go and you start getting around lost people, you know what you see? You see them in their condition. Now, this, hey, the same thing will happen to you that happened to Jesus when he saw the multitudes. When he saw the multitudes, he had what? He had compassion. And when we start seeing, especially if we're able to get in people's homes and see how children are trying to survive today and all of these Christless homes and all that. You see, when we got saved, Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's the same love that's in the heart of Jesus. And he's put it here. So when we get out and we see how people are trying to get by without, we see them in their condition, our eye affects our heart. And our heart has the love of Christ. By the way, that's that love that brought the gospel to you. Amen. And so now you're seeing them and you're loving them like Christ does. Because what's happened is he's loving them through you. Amen. So here's what happens. He that goeth forth and weepeth. There's no command for us to weep. The command is go. But God says, if I can just get you to go, see, I've got you fixed. I got you wired. I've put in you what you need. It's there. And all it has to do is get around the people that need me.
That's right.
And so you know what we'll do? We'll weep. And here's the first thought that comes to us. I know what these folks need.
Yeah. That's right.
I know exactly what they need. Hey! And I got it.
Right, man.
I got
right.
The gospel.
Right.
Bearing precious seed. I have got what they need. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell them. I'm going to share it with them because I have compassion. And it all came because I just did what God wanted me to do, whether I wanted to or not.
That's right. Right.
And we just keep going. He keep breaking our hearts, and we're going to keep giving the gospel. And you keep doing that. And the promise is, will come with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Amen. Now here's the question. Why don't we weep now instead of weeping when we can't do anything about it? When it's after the fact. Amen. Well, preacher, I just wish I could. How can I do that? Just go. Just go. Years ago, this is before I even surrendered to preach. We had a fellow in our church, and the preacher wanted me to help develop him into a soul winner. His name was Charlie. So I'm taking him every Thursday night. We're going out soul winning, and I'm training him. Well, I come home this one Thursday night. I didn't feel good. I was out of sorts. I didn't feel good inside. Didn't feel right. I was tired. And the last thing I wanted to do is to take a shower and get cleaned up and go out and knock on a bunch of doors and talk to a bunch of people. I wanted to eat supper and go to bed. And I almost did. I thought, man, I can't do that. I can't leave that young Christian hanging out there. If I don't show up, he may have some lame brain excuse next week for him not to show up, and this thing could cost him just dropping clear out. So I went ahead and went anyway, and I didn't want to. I didn't feel like it, but I went. Don't you know, when I got to the church for the soul winning meeting, there's about 30 of us there, everybody was happy. Everybody was in a good mood. The preacher was joking. Everybody, and that just made me more miserable. There was nobody that looked and acted like me. And that just made it worse. So he wanted me to take some prospect cards. So I took 3 prospect cards. They were several miles between each home. We visited all 3 homes. Nobody was home. We 0-for-3. We struck out. We're heading back to the church, and I'm feeling worse now than I did earlier. I'm saying to myself, you should have stayed home. This is a wasted effort. You should, you know. So I got to feeling bad about Charlie. I thought, man. So I remembered on the way home, I had to go by the home of one of my kids in my Sunday school class, about a 14-year-old boy. He had missed a couple of Sundays, so I told Charlie, I said, Charlie, we're going to stop by. I can't remember the kid's name now. I need to just give him a word of encouragement. At least we'll get something accomplished. So we got to his house. He was home, but his teenage sister was there. She's about 18. And her boyfriend. And the girl wasn't saved. And so while I'm talking, and you know how it is, a left-handed soul winning, you're talking to him and you're going through the gospel and everything, and the kid's saved and baptized and all that, but you're not doing it for his benefit, you're doing it for her benefit. She got interested. So she wanted to know. So I led her to Christ. Well, her boyfriend, he's about 20 years old, her boyfriend was there, he's not saved, now he's interested. So I led him to Christ. By the time I got back to the car to head for the church, I was really feeling good. I wasn't sick anymore. I wasn't tired anymore. Man, I was. I didn't know that Christians could shout back in those days, you know, but I'd have probably shouted all the way back to church. I did inside. You know what happened? That sister brought that boyfriend to church Sunday morning. And they both got baptized. He had a rock band. He brought 2 members of his rock band, the lead guitarist and his family, and the drummer and his family, and the whole shooting match got saved, and all of them ended up getting baptized and getting anchored and faithful in the Faith Baptist Church in Avon, Indiana. You know what started it all? What any great compassion. Wasn't even any desire. I just did what God told me to do. And I didn't want to. But I went ahead and did it. Amen? And here's 48 years later, Jack, I'm glad I did. Amen? Now I'm telling you, let's weep now so we won't have to weep after we witness the great white throne. All I have to do is do my duty. Just go.